Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
As we told you last week, we were going to check in this week to get the week started off on the right foot. The director of public works for the city of Bloomington is our great friend Adam Wason. Adam, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Glass. Captain Kellums, I'm doing well.
How's your garden doing? I know you always have stuff out there that's growing this time of year.
I won't claim that it's my garden. I'll claim that my wife, April, puts a lot of work and effort into making sure we have a nice garden each year. But we pulled some beautiful radishes just last night for a salad, and the garden's looking real good.
You're in a supervisor role. That's how it should be. That's right. Keep the deer out.
Yes, I only take instruction. Yes.
Keep the deer out. Keep the kids out. That's what we're trying to do. Well, we know it's summertime. It's busy. Before we talked to you, we were talking about some traffic issues around the state that we've been traveling here the last couple of days. But we know Bloomington is very busy as well, and we figured, what better man to have on the airwaves to help us navigate all the wonderful projects we have going on here in town. Before we get to the in-progress ones, let's talk about the one on Kirkwood. It started early. It looks like it wrapped up early. And just like that, it's back open and ready to go.
Yeah, actually, I'm down on Kirkwood Avenue right now. We're doing...
You're outside because it's perfect outside. Yeah. I see how this works.
Well, yeah. Hey, actually, I'm sitting at the patio at Nick's having a... No, I'm not at all. I'm down here on Kirkwood with our contractor and our designers for the project. We're doing our first punch list walkthrough right now, just noting minor things that need either a fix or something to be completed. So we're out here right now, and I stepped away from that walkthrough. But really excited about the Kirkwood project, how smoothly it went, how quickly it went. I'd never say I'm thankful for the situation that allowed us to do it quickly, but given the situation with the low amounts of traffic and everything else, EMB Paving, our contractor on that, just did tremendous work getting in and out. And
how flexible were they once this... We knew this project was coming and you wanted to move it up. Was that something they were interested in too, so they could get maybe another job in later this summer? How did that work?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we started getting indication of what was going to happen with the university and with some of the stay-at-home orders, their project managers contacted us rather quickly and said, hey, we'll take the precautions needed. We'd like to get out there as soon as possible and get out of there as soon as possible. You know, E&B, the contractor, they've got a lot of local projects going this year. They're a large construction outfit, and they've got the projects over there on the east side with the repaving of State Road 46, 3rd Street there. They did both 2nd Street and Arlington for us already this summer, you know, so they're a large construction firm doing good work. And so, yeah, as soon as they saw this opportunity to get started early on Kirkwood, it was pretty much a no-brainer for them, and we supported that decision wholeheartedly.
And this getting this done early has made your life easier because you can focus on other projects as well. Were you happy that it did get done early because Mother Nature was helpful to us in the sense it didn't rain every other day?
It couldn't have gone much better, Glass. I won't lie. Yeah, no, it couldn't have gone much better overall. You know, when we thought back to, I was talking with one of our project managers and talking to my wife about it, and I had said, you know, that had the makings to be probably the most stressful project we would do in a 5-year period, had it been normal situation, normal circumstances. The interactions with the business owners, making sure the information sharing was happening on a daily basis, making sure we could have, the IU Centennial was scheduled to take place right in the middle of the construction when it was originally planned. There was going to be a major conference at the graduate for a couple of weeks with Big Ten alumni leaders. You know, so there were a lot of things that were going to make that project really, you know, just naturally stressful. And it was going to take a lot of coordination and a lot of effort to make sure we were just keeping people informed and being able to get in and get out like we did. I am certain I have less gray hair on my head because of the way that project went.
Well, that's exciting to hear because now, because that project is completed and it's got some cool stuff in it, We know that coming this weekend, starting at 5 o'clock on Friday and running through 5 o'clock on Sunday, number one, it's going to be very hot. But you have the ability now, and I was trying to do this on the air last week, and I probably sounded like a buffoon more than usual because I didn't understand how this was going to work.
Yeah, Adam Glass and I argued quite a bit.
We didn't
about
argue.
Traffic
we just
flow,
we talked
right?
out loud, and I just couldn't get my head around it because I couldn't picture how you were going to cut the streets off. But when I drove when I drove through there the other day, I saw the whatever those stand up things are off to the side, and I said, "Oh, they're going to use those."
Yeah. So if you go by across the street from the Monroe County Public Library, and then they're behind the Buskirk Chumley, and then they're behind Dunkirk Square. We've got several storage areas for the bollards. We're calling them the bollard containment areas. And so those tall, you know, about 4 foot tall concrete and steel bollards are, we've got a neat little device one of our mechanics fashioned for us that just two guys basically clamp down on them and pick them up. And then those will get inserted into the actual street and into the sleeves that we've installed into the street. Those are reinforced stainless steel sleeves that are, I think, 36 inches into the ground or something, all to meet Homeland Security requirements for events and such. But, yeah, so for Friday night, we'll start closing down. The closure of Kirkwood will take place from Indiana Avenue over to Grant, and we'll close off Kirkwood, the east-west part of Kirkwood there, and then we'll leave Dunn Street in Indiana will stay open. So the north-south will still continue to maintain traffic. It'll be Kirkwood itself where the traffic will be shut down. So working with all the restaurants and retailers to be able to utilize the sidewalks and the parking spaces for more retail, dining, et cetera, and then use the street as more of the walking, pedestrian-friendly area. So, you know, we heard from the Kirkwood Business Association, the owners, and they've got a small group that they meet with regularly, and they said, you know, we'd love to try something. And so this weekend's just kind of a trial, see how it goes, see what we learn, what we can do better, we're excited. You know, this is something that, you know, when we started dreaming up the Kirkwood project about a year and a half ago, thinking, well, what might be great opportunity to just kind of see how things will go, and gives us great flexibility to really utilize Kirkwood in different ways than we have in the past.
Adam Wason's our guest. He is the director of public works here for the city of Bloomington. And I think the coolest part of this project is keeping the east keeping the north-south roads open while the inner blocks are literally blocked off.
Yeah, you know, and in the end, we have the ultimate flexibility at every intersection to do if we want to block east, west, north, south, if we just want to block the east side or the west side or the north side. You know, that was one of the really awesome parts of being able to include the bollards in this project is that it just gives us great flexibility in how we can do things. And, you know, it's something I'm excited about. I've always said, you know, Kirkwood is our iconic street. We all know that. It's, you know, it's like Pearl Street in Boulder or State Street up in Madison. And the more I think we can activate it, I think it'll be really a great opportunity to see what can happen on Kirkwood.
Now, is the work done down? I know the work's never done. Is the work done down there, or are there any other major projects you'd like to get finished?
No, on Kirkwood, we're wrapped up for the most part. There will be some, like I said, we're doing the punch list right now. In construction terms, that's the, everything's been built. What do we need to, you know, let's walk the entire project site. Let's look at little things here and there that might need to be fixed. You know, some folks have already pointed out, when they put the fresh asphalt down, there was quite a bit of tracking onto the brand new crosswalks. Well, naturally so. And so we're waiting for a couple weeks of cure on the asphalt, and then we'll come back through. If the rains don't take care of it, we'll come back through and use some light solvents to get those cleaned up and make them look real nice. So it's a career type project. It's an exciting one.
Well, I'm glad that that's going to be the case, because I know, and I've talked to just about everybody that said handling those water barriers were a day project itself. How much quicker is the bollard issue? I mean, are you literally just picking them out of a truck and sticking them in there? How does that work?
Yes. So for this weekend, we'll bring a truck down. We'll get little device that lifts them up out of their storage area. I get them in the truck, and then basically just two laborers opening up the bollard sleeves and sliding them right in. They weigh about 100 pounds a piece, so you got a buddy lift, and we'll learn as we go what's going to be most efficient. We were looking at different options. We've got a couple of the little Bobcat utility vehicles, and you can purchase a little crane arm even. I wanted to see how this weekend goes, and then as we need, we'll if it's too much, we'll get some better equipment. But I think overall, I think we'll be able to close down the areas we need to this weekend on Friday within an hour and a half or so.
Excellent. Well, the other thing is, yeah. Is this true that you're going to have air conditioned pavement down there because it's going to be 94 degrees on Saturday? Is that true?
Actually, I will personally be down there fanning folks as they begin to sweat and such. So that's part of my role this weekend, is just make sure that I'm walking around. I'll have a mister, and then I'll have a big giant fan and a little portable AC unit too. Uh-huh. All of it.
So you did mention that the same company that did down Kirkwood's also working on a Third Street project. What's the outline for that Third Street project?
I noticed today when I was out there, all the final pavement's down. I think they're doing some tie-ins on some of the storm water inlets, and then they'll have pavement markings and punch list items. But that should be wrapping up pretty soon as well.
Now, is the traffic flow changing out there? It almost looks like it's moving into two lanes with a center turn type lane as opposed to the four lanes that it was before.
Now, this is different than the College Mall project too, right, Adam? So you're doing two of the four sides here?
Yeah. So the city will come and do College Mall. We're putting that out to bid here pretty soon from 3rd down to Morse Pike with a repaving project, and lots of discussion about the road arrangement there and the lane markings. But for the state's project, the State Road 46/East 3rd Street project they're undertaking right now, that goes from College Mall Road, the bypass, all the way out to 446 from Clariz Boulevard. Yeah, Clariz is the north-south there behind the Blooming Foods on the east side. From that intersection out to 446, they will be doing a lane reduction in each direction. They'll be putting on-street bike lane an on-street bike lane configuration, one lane of travel in each direction, and one center turn lane. There's a lot of reasons, a lot of discussion that went into that. Believe it or not, traffic counts in that section of road over the last 20 years are way down. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's thousands of less cars using that today on a daily basis than it was a couple years ago. And I think that's got to do with the build-out of Morse Pike and some other things, but there will be those lane reductions. The traffic modeling and data modeling that NDOT and their engineers did showed that it shouldn't have any impacts on congestion, even during peak hours. So it's something we agreed to try with them and offer all users of the transportation system some better amenities out there.
And when you look at the traffic count numbers, this is not a the way these projects get bid out or bid on, it's very data driven. You guys just don't sit around and say, we haven't done this in a while.
It's not throwing darts, right?
you pull this information to look at it, and it kind of jumps out off the page. But there are some other places that have heavy traffic counts. I think starting today, wasn't it, that 10th Street by the business school and library is going to be closed in that little section. Is that city? How does that work?
Yeah, so that project's actually a combination project. We're working really closely with our partners over at IU through Vice President Morrison's office for capital planning. So working really closely with Adam Tease and his group to, that crosswalk was put in years ago after a pedestrian death on campus. And it was just it was a measure to try to slow traffic and give folks an easy way to cross there with SPIA and the business school over the library. So what they're doing, we've granted them a full closure. So IU's taking on the first part of the project. IU wanted to make a better pedestrian amenity there for crossing over to the library. So they're going with what they call tabletop design. So it'll be a raised tabletop design, just longer than a bus. So the pavement will raise up about 6 or 8 inches. You'll go up onto the tabletop. It's like I said, it's the length of just, I think, 20 feet longer than a normal one of the big buses. So that tabletop will bring you up, and it'll have the pavement markings indicating where the crosswalks are for the students and everybody to use. And then it'll, you know, come back down to road surface. So IU has contracted and is installing that part of the project. And then we were actually scheduled to pave 10th Street last year. And IU said, hey, wait, can you wait 1 year? Let us design this. Let us implement something new with the crosswalk, and then you can come back and pave. So instead, we went up and paved 13th Street last year, held off on 10th, and patched it up. And so as soon as IU wraps up their 30 or so day project with the tabletop design, we'll come back and pave from Forest to Jordan. And that's been when folks talk about town gown and different things, one of the things I've been most impressed and proud of as the Public Works Department and as the city is for the last 5-6 years, we've really done a great job of coordinating capital projects and talking to each other on a monthly basis to say, hey, here's what we've got coming and here's what you've got coming. When's it make sense to partner? When's it make sense to stay out of each other's way? And so that's been something that's been real good. And with coordination with that, with Vice President Morrison's office and others over at IU. So.
Well, it seems like you have to have that good partnership because we know how busy it can be. And now with this downtime, as you mentioned, nobody wanted this downtime. We always have a natural downer time in the summer, but not like this. So to get all these projects done and to get these partnerships rolling, that has to be exciting moving forward. The next project you have is what? I drive down Henderson Street and see a bunch of stuff going on there. Is that you too?
That's our planning and transportation department. Our engineering department, our division in there is leading that project. But yeah, we're involved in part of the coordination there. So that'll be a side path project that'll go from, it'll go to Hillside all the way down to Winslow. And then I think it goes, heads eastbound on the north side of Winslow to, it'll be a side path all the way over to Highland. So that'll be a really nice improvement for bike and pedestrian and everybody. You know, it'll get the bikes off the road and it'll get folks on a larger one of the 9-foot wide side paths. So that's something we're excited about as well.
Yeah, and they're set back off the road too. Maybe some sidewalks aren't where you can fall off your bike or you can jump off or there's room for people to get around. That is very, very interesting as well. What is our next major road project? 2nd Street looks great. It's probably 3rd Street at the cemetery right now.
So the Adams, 3rd, 5th Adams, it wouldn't be Bloomington if it didn't have three different names. But they're at the Rose Hill Cemetery. They're continuing on with that project for, I think they got another 45 days. They'll that'll install some protected bike lanes. It'll be the first protected bike lanes in Bloomington where there'll be a tree plot, a grass plot between the curb and the bike lane, and then the automobile traffic will be able to use the roadway, obviously. But yeah, it'll be a separated and protected bike lane for that area, as well as they're making some retaining wall improvements. They're obviously going to resurface the roadway, those sorts of things. So, another great project and one where we'll be able to kind of see firsthand how the protected bike lanes work in Bloomington and then see where we might prioritize the installation of some more of those.
And if you had your wish, what could happen the rest of the summer? Or is everything look like it's going to be on time? So when we do welcome students back the third week and Bloomington really starts to perk up for the first time since I would guess February, you'll have all your positions and pieces in place?
Yeah, for the most part. I don't say this as an anti-environmentalist or anything, but I wish people would get out and drive a whole lot more right now. Some of my big concerns in public works, so the gas tax. Folks don't think about how that trickles down to the local level, but our indications are that the April, May receipts are going to be about 40% lower than last year's for our June payment. So things like that, that's projects will be wrapped up and such, but now we'll be also having to really sharpen the pencil on the budgets and look at our spending and what we're doing and how we're doing it. So my biggest concerns with public works are going to be the street department. They receive a vast majority of their funding through the state's gas tax. And so when folks weren't traveling for those few months and when everybody from Chicago didn't drive to Florida for spring break and buy gas in Indiana, those receipts are going to take a pretty big hit, and that'll trickle directly down to the local government level.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, speaking of
all
that,
those gray hairs I saved,
yeah,
all those gray hairs I saved on Kirkwood, I'm picking them back up as we talk budgets.
How is your garage going over in the oh geez, the mill, the trades,
trade
the yeah, I can't get that one right either.
That's on schedule. They're doing that's construction's progressing really well. They got the pier. They've got the not the piers, but the.
I know what you mean. The pilings,
the big corner pieces. The big corner pieces are I think almost wrapped up, and then they'll start working decks. So that project's going well. It's on schedule. Our 4th Street Garage project is out to bid right now, and those bids I think get opened here in the next couple days, and we'll look to award that contract real quickly, and you'll start seeing a lot of activity down at the 4th Street Garage site here in mid to late July is when they'll really start to mobilize and get the cranes set up and everything there. So both those projects will be moving pretty quickly.
So that's it? That's all we got to talk about today?
I mean, you know, I could come up with a few other 500 projects we're doing. You know, other things we're looking at, you know, I think I told you last time we talked, maybe, you know, our sanitation numbers are way up. Our tonnages of trash collected are way up. To the tune of about 1,000 additional tons per month right now.
Why do you think that is, Adam? That's fascinating to me because everybody who's had to stay home and not only go out when you need to go out and all these rules, where's all – everybody's doing spring cleaning.
Everybody stayed home.
And so, yeah, I attribute it to several things. It's the spring cleaning. I'm guessing you would see a pretty similar – for the increases that we saw, I'm guessing you'll see a pretty similar decrease in the commercial sector. So, you know, for every time Nick's in Uptown and everybody's not serving me a meal on a glass plate in their restaurant, but I'm taking it via carry out home, those sorts of things. And yeah, and the spring cleaning, I think if there was anyone in Bloomington that hasn't cleaned out a closet in these last 12
or
weeks,
a garage,
I'd like to know where they're at. Yeah, you know.
And this might be the only spring cleaning in a decade, too, so there might have been some heavy lifting going on.
Yeah, but literally, yeah, so we were 1,000 tons up March over March, and I think we were like 950 up April over April. And then recycling was about 25% up. So, and you know, it's fascinating, too, because we know we had less people in town. You know, we knew our Monday routes were way lower than normal, but our full-time resident routes were way higher. So our large item pickups, I think we were over 100. We had a... I think it was 125% higher numbers in large item pickups scheduled for March and April.
Just imagine if the students were here. Exactly.
Exactly. Right. So, we always got a lot going on, you know, and going into, you know, this fall and then even 2021 budget time, you know, we're going to have to look at what we do, how we do it, and what makes the most sense going forward, you know. I don't have any specific areas that we know we're going to cut or do differently, but we've got to start thinking about that. We need to really start thinking about what we do and how we do it. And, you know, if there are some things that we might not need to do anymore or do less of or, you know, shift. So when I read the public works director forums that I do and do some of the continuing education stuff right now, there's just so much uncertainty and, I try not to look at it from a position of fear, but opportunity and keep a positive mindset about it. But, you know, when you start talking about 40% budget reductions in 1 month, that gets to be pretty scary.
Where do you even look for guidance in that? Have there been other cities that have gone through this before for different reasons, or you just really have to ask your department people to be like, all right, everybody starts at X percent and works their way back from here?
Yeah, you know, we try not to ever do the, hey, just, you know, it's 15% across the board or it's, you know, so what we're doing, like street department's the big worry. That's the one I told you about so far is that, you know, with the motor vehicle highway and local road and street funding, what we're having to do right now is just look at what were all of our planned expenditures for 2020. What were our really big ticket items? What were, and this is a slippery slope and a dangerous one, but, you know, what major capital purchases can you push off a year or two? you know, that, and so that's the first step to hopefully stave off any types of reductions is, okay, what, you know, we really wanted three new dump trucks, but what if we just got one right now? Or, you know, with the street department, you know, major pieces of equipment, like, we need a new bush hog, and tractor. We need a new bucket truck. And so, you know, can we make some repairs to the current bucket truck and get us through another year and hope that 2021's a little bit better? You know, so that's where you start, but that's a slippery slope too. You know, if you get in a position where you're not replacing your capital on regular cycles and based on best management practices, you spend a lot more on repair at the end of life of the vehicle than you would. And so that's not efficient. So it's all balancing, you know, it's looking at, just all of our programs, how, you know, and how we do them and what we might be able to do to make them more efficient or less costly.
And you sit there and have everybody say a silent couple minutes of please have nothing break that doesn't need to break right now. Whether it be water, 100-year-old water lines or anything else. Yeah, that's just, well, that's just the price of doing business, and it never stops, does it?
Yeah. If I could show you the picture of the drive shaft of the major cooling tower that helps cool, that is the main component of cooling City Hall, that our facilities director, J.D. Boroff, sent me 2 weeks ago. You know, so when you've got a 12-foot long, you know, 12-inch diameter drive shaft to a cooling tower, and it's bent three different ways to Sunday. I am no HVAC expert, but when I saw that picture, I knew we had a problem on our hands. So as you know, you'll see right now on 10th Street between Morton and Rogers, we've got that closed because we've got a giant semi-trailer holding a temporary cooling tower while the replacement cooling tower gets manufactured and delivered in the next 6 weeks. But, you know, when I woke up to that picture and that phone call, it was kind of like, today's not going to be a great day.
Well, you'll find a way to get through it. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. No, you know. So we've, you know, again, it's all shifting priorities. And, you know, okay, this has come up. What can we hold off on doing to make sure we can fix that now? And, you know, the one thing I, you know, if you ever saw me with three balls in my hand trying to juggle them, you know, I'm not a juggler, but it is one of the skill sets as a public works director that I do have. We're always juggling. We're always constantly.
Well, we didn't say you had to be a great juggler. You just have to be a juggler.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, so that's all part of it. And, you know, we've got, you know, plenty of projects. There's never a lack of things to do. That's for sure.
No kidding. And we always appreciate you carving out some time for us to keep everybody updated on it. If people want more information, simply go to the city's website, right?
Yep, absolutely. City's website's always a good place to start. If you got any public, if you need to reach out to us at Public Works, we're at 349-3410. You know, if you don't know who you need to talk to in city government, but you know you need to talk to somebody, we'll get you to the right people based on whatever description of your issue is. And I always say that, you know, when folks have no idea who else to call with their problem, they're going to call the city of Bloomington, and we're here to help. And even if it's just to relay them to another agency.
Excellent job, my friend. It's always great to get caught up with you. Make sure you put your sunblock on the rest of the week, please.
I appreciate it. Hey, Captain Kellums, I hope you're enjoying your retirement, and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Bye, Adam.